how to operate a camp via Swamp's International Camp Culture and Staff Training Organization. The goal is to inoculate our camp swamp, that our camp swamp culture and values to create a perennial experience for young and old. And you know, this is a great opportunity, I think, for anybody. But when you have young adults who decide, hey, you know what, I'm gonna leave the comforts of the United States and go elsewhere to help meet some needs, it's incredible. And so we have three young adults. We have Ethan Anderson, we have Abby, and we have Emerson. And you know, they're gonna have just a short opportunity to be able to share with you their experience over there in Taiwan. And so I'm just gonna ask, you know, one or two questions and just for you guys to just be able to share with us and give us an idea of what it was like for you. So the first question I wanna ask is, tell us what impacted you the most. What story can you share with us that you felt had left a mark on you?
Hello. So probably the thing that impacted me the most was we actually went to a school, and just to kind of be brief about it, we walked up and the kids were like cussing us out and calling us fat. And it wasn't that they were like being mean, but it's just like they didn't know like love, and they would kind of act out in like a bad way too, for like attention type of thing. And I remember like this kid was like straight up like looking me dead in my face, like cussing me out. And I remember just like smiling, and I was like, yep. And then having like a little bullet prayer, like, please, like, just give me patience, or kind of like give me like an excuse to like not be like with the kids so I don't get like cussed out this entire time. But actually Emerson, right after that, kind of turned around and was like, yeah, we just need to show them love this whole time. We keep on, if we just continue to do that, they'll just bring back the same energy, and they'll continue to change their attitude and kind of show us love towards the end and everything. And that's absolutely what they did. On our way, when we were leaving, they were actually like holding us back, and like some of them like got on the bus trying to get us off, and they were literally like jumping on us and like all this stuff. And it was really sweet. It got me kind of emotional, to be honest. But it was cool to kind of see the change between just like a 3-hour difference of like what like actual like love can do, especially for like kids that like have never experienced it like that. And it was honestly hard to lead them, even though I didn't like connect deeply with any of them. It was really difficult to kind of see like us leaving them. Hopefully they kind of have that love for their friends now, just based off of what we've shown them. But yeah, I've been praying for them ever since I came back. But that's probably what impacted me the most from the whole trip.
So our first night in Taipei, we stayed at an Airbnb, but the morning after, we like all grouped together, and Mr. Jeff was just talking to us about like how we should have our mindset going into the trip and everything. And we watched a video about wolves and them impacting the population, and like the different animals and the plants and the rivers and everything. And really what it was to show us was that there's going to be someone who's going to be a wolf for us on this trip, and we might be a wolf for someone else. And you know, I knew that someone is going to be my wolf, but I thought that it was going to be like a co-counselor or an adult volunteer. But it ended up being, you know, one of my campers. And I really didn't expect that whatsoever, because it was a 10-year-old girl who didn't speak any English. She gave me hugs every day, and like multiple hugs a day. Like I'm talking like 3 or 5 per hour. And, you know, and it wasn't, the bond between us didn't form because, you know, she was cute, or because she was funny, or because she gave me chicken nuggets when we had them. But it was because she really saw me for me, and she didn't, you know, she couldn't speak my language or anything, but she saw that I wanted to give her love and compassion and show her the love of God that I have. and I wanted to give that to her, and that's all she saw, and that's all she cared about. And so that really just impacted me, because I realized that, you know, love has no language. And so I miss her every day. I'm seeing like pictures of her right now, and I'm like, oh my gosh. But yeah, so that little girl just really impacted me, and the thought that, you know, this 10-year-old girl, so basically when I started going to camp, she was born. So I feel like God really put me all these years through camp for her. So yeah.
To be honest, I was a little scared going to camp because of the language barrier, and the older I get, I'm starting to lose my extroverted side, so it wasn't as easy for me to talk to everyone and get to know people. But even with the language barrier, campers, like the Taiwanese campers and counselors, like they still wanted to talk to us and hang out with us, so they never really stayed in their comfort zone and just stayed with each other. Like, they always invited like other Americans to join a game or to worship with them. And I just think how it's crazy how no matter how different we were with the language and culture and everything, like, we still worshiped the same God. So it's crazy how you can worship like God here in America and then go to Taiwan and worship the same one. And just how beautiful it is seeing everyone sing the same song but in their own language, but it still has the same meaning. And so I just think how it's super cool that it doesn't matter where you go, you can still worship together.
Wow. So, another question. So tell us, how did you see God going to Taiwan? Like, how did you see God in Taiwan when you were there?
Honestly, it's kind of short, but I kind of saw God to like kind of what going off of what Emerson was saying, actually, is kind of like God has no languages. And like, there was one of my campers asked me to hold their Bible, and it was like all in Mandarin, and like that was so cool to me to see like John chapter whatever in Mandarin. Like, it was so weird to me, but it kind of put in perspective. I never have ever thought about that, but like, it was really cool to kind of see like that change of view, and for like the same topic, you know, pretty much exactly what Emerson is saying.
I think, you know, the whole trip in general was just thing after thing, you know, going from place to place, and, you know, seeing so many different, you know, views from not just people, but like, you know, even like the landscapes. And we went on this hike, and the mountains were huge, and, you know, I've been on hikes before, but it's like being there in Taiwan across the world and then standing next to this huge mountain where you can't even like see like the other side of it. It was just, it hit me in a different way. And I think it really showed me, like, I know I'm a small person, but like now I feel even smaller. And it really just showed me that, like, yes, I'm so tiny in this huge world, and I can be on the other side of the world, I can be, you know, wherever, but God will still be there. And, you know, he's not just doing that for me, but he's doing that for everyone. Everyone in this building, everyone outside this building, you know, he's doing this for, like, every single person that we don't even know. And that's just insane to me. And I think that that really just rung clear.
For me, so as you know, for people who already go to camp, we have a Starlight Devo on Wednesdays, and it's outside. But actually in Taiwan, the weather wasn't really agreeing with us that night, so we had to have it inside, which is crazy because I think that was one of the most powerful Starlight devotionals I've ever had. And so we watched this PowerPoint where it shows like the earth compared to the sun compared to this, and then eventually it got to our galaxies. And what's crazy is, like, no matter how big the galaxies were, like, God was still bigger. And what was more even powerful was how, even though we couldn't see the stars inside, like, God was still there with us. And just crazy how, like, how big he is and how much love he has for us and how small and insignificant we are, but he still pays attention to each and every one of us.
So One last question. This is a softball question. This trip wasn't free. How'd you guys end up, you know, what's some of the things you guys did to raise money and be able to make this trip happen?
Well, I got a job, but then towards the beginning, I guess like this time last year, me and Abby had a bake sale, which it was here, and that actually helped a ton for me. I'm guessing, yeah, it was a lot of money. It helped for both of us a lot, and but also my parents kind of helped me out with some of the months just because I wasn't making that much, but you know, that's fine. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, the bake sale helped a lot. I want to take this time to like thank any of you who really donated to any of us, not just me, but like you guys definitely helped a lot, especially my life group. but yeah, I also have a job, so I pretty much took any money that I got from there and put it towards Taiwan bake sale, and then I had friends that helped me out, and I also created a t-shirt. I don't think anyone's wearing it today, so, but it's the purple one with the cross, and then on the back it says, when it's bigger than you, give it to him. And then I raised a lot of money from that too, so thank you for anyone who purchased that also.
I didn't do the bake sale. I joined a little later than that. I also have a job, but I didn't contribute to my own paycheck because it was near the end when I actually decided to join. I joined a little late, and my parents were like, don't worry about using your own money. You have to focus on school, because it was the time when I was taking my finals and, like, you know, I was getting ready to take the SAT and the ACT. And so basically we wrote a letter, some sort of letter, to ask people, like, hey, could you help me out? Yeah.
Hey, man. You know, and again, this is definitely a team effort, as you can hear. I mean, their experiences was priceless, and you guys have been an example not only to, you know, the teens, but to everybody in the church, you know, to really think beyond your world and think bigger. And so we thank you guys for taking the courage and being able to do that. I have a scripture I want to close us out with as we about to take communion. And it's in Matthew 20. And this is where, you know, the mother, she's making a request for, you know, her sons to be on the left and her son to be on the right of Jesus. And Jesus simply replies down in verse 25. He says, you know, the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be a slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And, you know, a lot like what these young people did, they sacrificed. You know, you heard their story. They sacrificed time, money. You know, they got support from other people to go and help kids that they may never see again. And that's a lot like Jesus. He sacrificed his life for people, for some who may not even accept him. And so, you know, this example that you guys set is very much like Jesus. It's very much so. And so we thank you so much for setting that example and bringing the scriptures to life for all of us to be able to remember. So as we, you know, about to take communion and break the bread and take the wine that represents Jesus' blood, let us think about that. Let us think about how we can give ourselves as a ransom for many, and even for those who may not accept what we're trying to offer them through Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you sent your Son on the cross to die for us. Thank you so much that you provided the example through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection. We know, Lord, that all that we do, it comes from you. You provide the strength. You provide the will for us to do the things that we do. Thank you so much for organizations like Swamp, God, that allows young people to take part of what Jesus did all his life and be able to take a piece of that and allowing that to mature in their hearts and grow their faith and impact the world We pray, Father, that we will continue to remember those examples, Father. First with Jesus, but then with many other examples that we see before us that reminds us to be close to you. Thank you for your son and just the life that he provided for us, the guidance that he's given us, and that he continues to give us as we live here on earth. We thank you so much for all that you've given us, and we pray all these things in his son Jesus' name. Amen.